Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Diamonds in my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. Try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I keep playing, lot of shine. Smokey in the air, that's a lot of pine. Pockets running over with the dollar sign. Try to take it from me.
Welcome to episode 378 of Fourth and John. I'm Gail Saunders with Mr. Prime in the building and Evan on his way. Tonight we're talking about the Eagles-Rams recap. And we're going to give you a little bit of a recap of the trip. Shout out to Philly Sports Trips, who put on a phenomenal event for Eagle fans across the country. You West Coast fans, to enjoy your team like the way that you know you want to. I know the tailgate with set it off. We had a pep rally on Saturday. Got to meet a lot of you Eagle fans out there. Always great to hear the perspective of an Eagle fan on the West Coast, or an Eagle fan that doesn't get to see their team on an every week basis. I almost feel, not that I never take the Eagles for granted or being around the Eagles for granted, but I know some fans actually do take it for granted when they have the Eagles in their backyard. But the West Coast fans got a chance to have the Eagles in their backyard. When I tell you this stadium, we went to a lot of stadiums over the years, and this stadium was probably the nicest state. Like, if you could dream up what a stadium looks like in heaven, this would be it. Just from the outside, it looks like some museum or a spaceship. You get in there, it's like, it's like you're seeing angels walk around with you. But the football gods at the end of the day, rained down on the Eagles as the Eagles prevailed. I thought it was a great overall trip, man. A great overall dub. I guess the people that don't like the ugly wins or struggle wins, or they won't enjoy this one. But as you can see from Prime's title underneath his name, the Eagles are 5-0. So you, anyway, which way, shape or form, any writer out there wanting to write a think piece on why the Eagles are 5-0 and why it looks the way it looks, I don't care. We are 5-0. Prime, are you in a 5-0 mood?
I'm absolutely in a 5-0 mood. Still recovering a little bit. I feel like still a little jet lag from arriving home yesterday. But yeah, man, big ups to the West, man. The West really held it down. Hospitality was great. We were able to catch up with a bunch of our West Coast Swoop Nation fans out there. They were showing us love. A bunch of people ended up getting together, man, showing what it's like to represent the birds. The mood was just great from the time we landed to the time we left. Yeah, bro, listen, we played the game however we got to play to go ahead and win, and that's exactly what we did. These guys did their part. It was a little struggle. You know what I mean? Again, left a lot on the table. I'm pretty sure the guys talk about it and address it during the interviews and everything on stuff that they got to go ahead and fix. But, you know, that's what we do. We take one game at a time. It wasn't pretty, like you mentioned, but you know, a dub is a dub. Excited overall on the trip, just in general. Again, like I mentioned, it was a good time. One more day would have probably been nice, but you know, I mean, we had to come back to, you know, get back to reality, man. It is what it is. Looking forward to the next one. We'll see how soon it comes around, but man, hey, yeah, let's go. I mean, now on to 6-0. Let's go work on getting that 6-0 record.
And you talk about this trip being, I mean, it's a short one. I would have loved to had maybe two more days. I wanted to say hi to a bunch of old friends that lived out there, but that just didn't happen with the time crunch. But with the time that we were there, we did get it in. We were out there trying to like get the most out of it. So we stayed up real late. The first night it was like trying to stay up till 5 a.m. to get us adjusted. But the next day we were just out there doing our best to stay alive. But at the end of the day, man, it is what it is, man. We'll talk about the game. You know, getting back to the game, I thought, you know, the approach was, you know, we got to see some of the Eagles' offense get back to what they do. A lot of big plays in terms of 20-plus yard plays. We all talked about the Dallas Goedert game. I think this was the Dallas Goedert game. I think he put out a tremendous effort, and I think he was excited. Overall, I think just seeing him get involved early was something great to see.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, man, because that was the game that we've been asking for, you know what I mean, all season. Is, well, when is Dallas Goedert going to go have his breakout game? And here it was. Like, you got it right here. 8 catches, 117 yards, 1 touchdown. I mean, look, my man did his thing. He was making some key plays, running the route just perfectly. Couldn't have gone any better than the way he did. He spread the ball, you know, even though Jalen did spread the ball a whole lot more around the way. But, you know, he definitely was hitting Goddard where he needed to be hit at. It was just good to go ahead and finally see. And now it just goes to show that, you know, as we're going forward and going later and more into the season, that man is just as much as valuable as the other 2-3 receivers that we got. So that's going to open up the game. Now people are going to go ahead and draw that attention back on him. So then now maybe it'll go ahead and open up a game like this for some of these other receivers. And I'm sure we're going to get into that a little bit later, but that's part of the game. That's what we want to, you know, that's what we look for this thing to be spread out a whole lot more. And this past Sunday, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. Goddard stats in the first 4 games. He's had 13 catches, 88 yards and 0 touchdowns against the Rams, 8 catches, 117 yards and a touchdown. You have to use him to his best ability. I think they got that opportunity. And I think it did open up. Talking about opening up, one great note from the first half. I mean, going right into this, it was almost going to the second half as we're closing out the halftime. You talk about that drive. You're like, what was it, like 75 yards and with 32 seconds. The way they did it in the fashion they did it. I want to give a shout out to A.J. Brown, man. A.J. Brown has been lighting it up like a Christmas tree. If you're thinking about earlier in the first 2 games of the season, he had 4 catches for 29 yards versus the Vikings. We saw upset A.J. Brown. We saw 7 catches for 79 yards versus the Pats. Still wanted to see more. In the last couple games, man, these stats right here, stats do not lie. A.J. Brown's last 3 games. Versus the Bucs, 9 catches, 131 yards. Versus the Commanders, 9 catches, 175 yards, 2 touchdowns. Versus the Rams, 6 catches, 127 yards, and a hell of a catch, man. One-handed, over the middle to set us up for the go, and then gets the pass interference down by the goal line. And the icing on the cake, the brotherly shove. What did you think of that drive right there?
I mean, you know, you saw how it caught us all off on, you know what I mean, like we were all shocked on the catch that he made. We're standing there, we thought it was going to go ahead and actually be an incomplete pass, but because the way the ball was thrown, but when he laid, you know, when he extended his arm out there and he connected with the one hand, it was just like, I think everybody on the Eagle side of the stadium was definitely like, it was just, all you heard was wow throughout that whole stadium. But yeah, I mean, it was a big play, clutch play. And then like you said, I think it was a face mask at the end that ended up getting the 15 more horse yards. Collar. Yeah, or the horse collar, something like that. Yeah, but it was the penalty that helped us out. And then, you know, the brotherly shove. speaking of the brotherly shove, man, it was just good to go ahead and see it. A lot of people still complaining this shit. You know what I mean? They're really hating on it. You got Luke Riddick even mentioning it constantly out on, you know, on the social media and then on broadcasting. Bro, like, I just don't get why they're so mad. We were discussing about this in the car ride back to the hotel after we left the stadium. Like, it's going to get to the point where they're going to go ahead and hate and they're going to go ahead and minimize so much shit. It's just ridiculous that to even bring up the fact that you want to try to stop the brotherly show is just, it's nonsense, bro. Like, I just don't get it. But anyway, man, if you don't want us doing the brotherly show, stop letting us get into those moments, man, because every moment we're going to go ahead and get and have, we're going to go ahead and take advantage of it, and we're going to, you know what I mean, give you that brotherly show. It is what it is.
Now, Dallas Goedert spoke on WIP this morning talking about the brotherly shove and what he says pre-brotherly shove. He talks a lot of shit to the opposing side. He's like, might as well just let us get it. You got to get your weight up. He just gets in the heads of the other players. I'm sure they get upset. I mean, I thought that really set the tone because, like, you're talking about you're coming from behind. Now you got the lead going into the second half. And they got their groove, you know. But going back to the brotherly shove comment about them trying to take it away, Adam Schefter had tweeted recently, right pre the game, said the brotherly shove, now it's controversial. The controversial play has the attention of the competition committee and the NFL and the NFLPA plan to study all the injury data related to the play as is customary during the offseason per a league official, especially after two Giants were injured on the play Monday night. The brotherly shove also be a topic of discussion during the offseason, as it was last offseason. But nothing will change this season. The brotherly shove is here for 2023.
It's a joke, man. It's a joke. Just seeing the fact that they're still using it, like you have it, have it as a topic, is just like mind boggling, bro. I'm serious. I just don't get it. Like I meant what I said. Like I felt like they're gonna go ahead and start targeting every little single thing. Like you're gonna go ahead and target us because we get the brotherly shove going and we complete that damn thing practically 99% out of 100. It is what it is. These guys have every right to talk the shit. Our quarterback, what, man, he's been just, you know, he squatting 600 pounds, man. He's putting in that work to go ahead and make that play happen. So, like, I just don't understand what you're upset about. Like, what's going to be the next thing? You're going to go ahead and now start minimizing the amount of receptions that a wide receiver could go ahead and have during the game. You know what I mean? Because let's go ahead and pinpoint Cooper Kupp. He had, like, what, 6 straight catches to him yesterday? And now, mind you, our defense couldn't go ahead and stop it because it was, like, the same play over and over. So now that's going to be a topic. You're only allowed a certain play a certain amount of times during the game. You know what I mean? Like, it's the game is just starting to get ridiculous. All these, like, just let these guys play ball, man. Like, I hope by the time my son grows up and he decides to play this sport, I don't know, man. It's like, is it going to be flag football by then? I don't get it. For real.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, Bob from Down Under mentions Eli Ricks getting some reps. He liked to see that early. I mean, again, it's interesting that the way that, you know, they're deploying guys, but, you know, you got Goodrich getting snaps. You got, you know, but the matchups, like, they, you know, they go into zone, and then you see – some of the plays weren't zone, but you see these young guys on Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp, he had 6 for 95 before halftime.
Yeah, I remember.
And then after halftime, two for 23.
Right.
Now, Puka Nacua, 3 for 34 before halftime and 3 for 23 after halftime. So I like what they did. They adjusted. I mean, they handled the offense was what they were top four offense. I think Matt Stafford was top four in passing in the league. To shut them out in the second half, that's the thing that you like to see. Like, again, it wasn't pretty, but it is what it is. They shut them out.
But, Gail, you made the key statement right there. Like, they made adjustments. We made adjustments to go ahead and shut that down. We made adjustments to go ahead and change the stat from 6 receptions to 95 yards to what? Another 6 and what? 30-something yards, you said, in the second half. Adjustments. That's the key thing. Adjustments were made. So if these fucking clowns can't make adjustments to stop brotherly shove, that's not our problem. That is not our problem. Why should they be holding that against us? Like, come on, man. Fuck out of here. Like, for real, if you can't stop that shit, that's your problem. That's your defensive coordinator problem. That's your head coach's problem. That's your squad's problem, not our problem. Bro, I think I've seen every single attempt being made yesterday. Like, the guys were hopping over the hopping over to try to stop Jalen. They couldn't catch him. They were trying to sneak under the pile just to go ahead and lift him up. They couldn't do it. They were trying to, you know what I mean? Both defenders were coming in trying to go ahead and close that up. They couldn't. It was like, if there's no adjustment for that, that is not our problem, man.
Now, the thing that Dallas Goedert mentioned about the brotherly shove and the way that they see it, right? So it's like I saw them in the huddle rewatching the game, like really kind of probably doing the pick out your pigeons and the way that the creases. You see, they talked about the creases. So once they see a certain type of crease and how they're going to play that crease, Jalen kind of figures out where he's going to go, you know, pre-snap. So it's like, you know, they could figure out how they try to line it up. He's like, all right, well, I know where I'm going next. Right. So they have the science down pack, I think. And that's the problem. That at the end of the day, if you can't stop it, you could only hope to contain it.
It's facts, man. It's facts.
Rakshek says, Hurts, the passer and runner, was fun. Shouldn't have thrown that pick in the third. You know, again, I think he was feeling himself, and I think maybe a better place football would have been nice. But if you could look throughout the game, Hurts was putting some dimes on people. I mean, throwing people open, right in stride. I think it was just impeccable. We have Evan Hollywood Hearn joining us, so also impeccable.
How we doing, fellas?
What up,
good boy? Man.
Got the Kelly Green on. Thought I'd join the party here.
Okay. How you doing, man? What were your overall thoughts of your trip and overall performance of the Eagles?
Overall performance of the Eagles, I want to start off by saying that great win. I think that the Eagles, you know, pretty much controlled the game the entire way. And I stepped away from this game also thinking that, like, there hasn't really been a moment this entire year when we've been down, when we've been up, where I have ever thought that we were going to lose any one of these games. I think that we've been in the driver's seat the entire season so far. And I think that that is a really good tell of what kind of football team that we are, a really freaking good one. So I'm loving it. I think that Jalen Carter he's everything that we expected him to be. The man is a monster. He's filling that Hargrave void immediately. I think that our rushing attack is tremendous. And obviously, I mean, A.J. Brown. We got A.J. Brown. That's just thank you to the Titans, man. I count my lucky stars every day. but the trip itself out in L.A. Was a great time. Philly sports trips, of course, always, you know, hooking it up with a fantastic time. Hotel was cool. Did have some hiccups.
You want to tell everyone about our hiccups?
So we got in late on Thursday night, right?
No, Friday.
Late Friday night. And so we got in probably like 11:30, 12. We got to the hotel. We were there on some mercenary shit. You know, we didn't have very long. So we wanted to check out L.A. as much as we could. So we walked around Venice Beach. We tried to counteract the whole time difference, stay up later. And then we got back to the hotel room, I would say, probably around 2-3 o'clock in the morning. And I just wanted to shower, man. I had been traveling all day long. I just wanted to clean myself so I can get into bed. And I go to pull on the little thing to start the shower, to stop the bathwater flow and start the shower flow. It just came right out in my hands. So the first two showers I took, I was knelt down over and just splashing water up onto myself. not the best shower situation, but you can't blame anybody for that. It's just it was a shitty shower.
You're trying to tell people that you're walking around half showered?
I was walking around a little raunchy after the first the first night. I'm not gonna lie. I washed myself as good as I possibly could, but you know.
Evan turned into angry dad as he went down to the front desk, and he's like, "I demand
that I shower twice a day. The showering is a very important part of my life. And when I couldn't have my normal shower, I was pretty peeved.
Pretty.
I went down in my Karen mode.
pretty dank and rank. But shout out to all you guys in the comments. Appreciate you guys stepping by and giving us your takes. We're gonna try and get to some of your takes as we get through the show. Because there was a lot of takes. But before we get on, shout out to Birdman. out there representing. He was out there at the Philly Sports Trips tailgate, enjoying the time, out here signing autographs, doing his thing. Appreciate you guys as well. You know, we were at watching the 49ers and Cowboys game. You know, watching watch the Cowboys implode and Dak saying the most humbling game of his entire life.
But you know what's just, you know what's kind of aggravating about that whole thing? Listen, watching them getting blown out, I'll never be upset about that. But the thing that I know in the back of my mind is, as soon as the Cowboys win their next game, regardless of who it's against, regardless of what the score difference is, they're going to be right back, man. They're going to crawl back out from underneath of the cupboard, and they're going to be like, oh, we're the best, we're the best. Completely ignore the fact that we got, you know, derailed by Josh Dobbs a few weeks ago, and now the 49ers just completely exposed them.
It's never going to stop,
they'll come back, man. We know how the cockroaches are.
It's never going to stop. That's why I just stay focused on our squad and doing what we got to go ahead and do, and let all that noise between the San Francisco 49ers and the Cowboys just keep on happening amongst themselves. San Francisco whipped that ass, because I mean, they didn't beat them. They didn't just, you know, win the game. They beat that ass. I'm still working on that goddamn clip, Gail. For some reason, my phone is not working with me with Shannon Sharp. The fact that, you know, Michael Parsons was talking about how they beat themselves, I'm still laughing at that shit. But yeah, I mean, let the circus keep going on between them. We're going to be seeing both of them soon. We just need to focus on ourselves, focus on tightening up, because there's still a lot. And I'm not going to sleep on either one of those teams, especially with the wide receiver core that they got. But, I mean, again, week in and week out, I keep telling you guys, we definitely got to go ahead and clean up that middle in our secondary. So something's got to be done. I saw Roby a couple plays in this past weekend.
Yep.
So, I mean, they slightly worked them in there, and I'm pretty sure we're going to see a whole lot more of him this weekend coming up. I'm hoping so, because, you know, Job and what's his name?
Ricks.
Yes. They were just still getting lit up, bro.
Well, I mean, I just think, you know, those valuable reps, again, I think that I saw a comment about the trading deadline. You know, they're probably going to look to try and get better. I mean, bringing in Roby was perfect, I think. But also, I think about for cornerback depth, I think that's something you got to look at. But something that we all have to look at, or the league, the rest of the defensive coordinators in the league have to look at is Jalen Carter, man, is a menace. Like, I was telling someone today that I go to sleep happy knowing that I have Jalen Carter to watch for how many more years. A guy that I've been studying for the last 2 years just to see him on our team, and just how the hell did we get him, and how the hell is he throwing everyone out of the way? He's beating double teams. The quickest way to the quarterback is the A and B gap, and you got to see Carter. Another person that you probably didn't see, well, Matt Stafford didn't see, was our man Hassan Reddick. Post-cast, Temple's Finest is showing up and lighting people up like Christmas trees. So between the both of them, this is a very good scene out here for the
And I find it funny, too, because there was a lot of people that were quick to point out Hassan Reddick's stats at the beginning of the year, talking about how, you know, oh, you know, he's completely fallen off, blah, blah, blah. Of course, fans of other teams. But disregarding the fact that he was playing with a cast on, and not to mention, he did start last year a little bit slow as well. So, I mean, he's right back in there now. I think is he leading the team in sacks, or is that Carter?
Three and a half sacks.
Yeah.
Carter's got half on him.
Three and a half sacks.
Mm-hmm.
Got a lot of pressures up there with Aaron Donald. Another player, you know, again, we're going to go around. If you got negatives and positives you want to bring out, but positives, talk about Sua Opeta, a guy who's been a undrafted free agent, a guy who's learned in the house of Stoutland, the school, Stoutland University. He's learned some of the – he's a jack of all trades. But I guess you could say he's a master – of Donald, because, you know, Aaron Donald was, you know, he held him in check, although it did take other linemen out there to help him out there. I saw a couple of reps where Aaron Donald got pushed out of the way like a small child by Lane Johnson. I was like, what are you doing? So, I mean, at the end of the day, they held Aaron Donald to no sacks, and he didn't – I don't believe he recorded a tackle. So,
yeah, no, he was completely held in check, and I saw that stat that Jeff Statland – I don't think Aaron Donald has ever scored a sack on him, right?
I have some Aaron Donald – I have some Aaron Donald information here.
Sorry, I was busy pulling in the picture of the weekend. I'm not sure if you saw that, Gary.
Picture of the weekend.
Yeah. I mean, in order to get the shot, you've got to get in the place to be able to take the shot. You know what I mean? Gail ended up taking a picture of the tailgate, and I will say it was a great picture.
Yeah, you done.
Give the full scope of everybody that was there. I saw him climbing up there. I was like, oh, that's a memorable moment right there.
Oh, you just opened up Pandora's box, bro. Hey. You know, it is on now. Do not slip and let us get pictures of you. I'm telling you right now.
If someone asks me to do a job, I do it to the best.
Whatever you got to do, right?
Ability.
Oh, by the way, Evan was in there.
I give you my all. You know, even if it's dangerous, I was like moving the porta potty, and someone was in there. I was like, okay, rough scene. Shout out to Nady, who was also on the trip. He says, you're right. He never had a sack of us in the last five games, which is probably all he's played against. He's been 1-3 versus the Eagles, and we love Aaron Donald here. We love Aaron Donald.
I mean, you remember what I said earlier in the year. I don't think that exists now. I was a big believer that if the Rams were going to start out the year real slow, that Howie was going to work his magic and find a way to put Aaron Donald in some Eagles green. But I got to be honest with you. With the emergence of how Jalen Carter has just burst onto the scene,
why bother?
I don't want to take any snaps away from him, to be honest with you. I mean, the rotation is deep as it is. And I'm down to just have Carter keep on just mauling dudes.
And then let's go back to the very beginning, man. The fact that Fletcher Cox was out of this game, you know, due to the epidural that he ended up taking during the week.
Yeah.
And we got the chance to see what the future is going to be like having Jalen Carter and Davis
Williams. Yep.
And Milton. You know what I mean? Side by side, all these guys, because this is the future. Fletcher's only going to be here, you know, for the remaining part of the year. And then, you know, we don't know what his decision is going to be after the season. So it's like something to look forward to. And I got to say, what better way than to go ahead and show that against somebody like Aaron Donald, the Rams, you know what I mean? Like, what better way to go ahead and show that lineup against these guys? Like, these guys, you know what I mean? They did their thing, and that defense lit it up on that last quarter, like the last few drives.
The Hassan Reddick sack was
Yeah, brother. I mean, lit up.
Man. Well, there was certain moments during that game as well. I'm not sure if you guys have talked about it yet, but we completely took over that stadium. Like the split, it wasn't even. I would say 70-30.
I said that.
I would say 70-30 Eagles fan. And there were a few moments, especially later in that game, where there was this wave of noise when the Eagles had made a play. And I was like, you know, when you're at the link and it's expected that the crowd goes wild, but like it caught me off guard and I was like, holy shit, the Eagles fans are loud in this place, man.
Yeah,
I was like, are they pumping our volume?
Yeah. The Rams had like every chance. So like, you know, I mean, I think it was like, let's go Rams. And then we overpowered it with the let's go Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
Like we kept on countering with everything and overpowering all their fans there. There was one fan that I told you that I was trying to catch up with, never had the opportunity to. He goes by the name of Ramsey. He's a guy who dresses up like an actual Ram, dances, got the cape and everything. Well, he posted, I'll see if I can go ahead and show you, so maybe you can go ahead and put it up later. But he posted him sitting in the middle of all these Eagles fans, and he was like, we can't be allowing shit like this to happen. We can't let people like this come and take over our stadium. And I was like, bro, given fact, we're always going to take over a stadium when it comes to us Philadelphia Eagles fans.
And that's what we're known for. I also think it's funny some of the justifications that fans of these opposing teams, you know, run into, because they get caught in a spot where we're sitting there like, yo, this is embarrassing that we just came up in your city 3,000 miles away and took it over. Like, it's Eagles chant. It looks like an Eagles game. And the one guy that was sitting behind us was making fun of us because the fans had started a chant while the Eagles offense was on the field. And there was like an E-A-G-L-E-S going on the field. I was like, and he was like laughing at us. Where I was like, dude, we're in your stadium and there's a loud ass E-A-G-L-E-S chant going on. That's embarrassing. That's the embarrassing part.
I took a video. It's on my Twitter handle. I didn't post it anywhere else, but it was just I started panning the camera. Shout out to Jesse Wines. He was in the middle of that doing the bird flock in his jorts over there. Just everyone was so excited. Like, I don't know. Like, you got, like, I always say, you got to be there. You got to show up sometimes. Just show up sometimes so you can feel this experience, overwhelming love about your team and your fan base. As you see them take over stadium, it's a wild thing. We're blessed to have this opportunity to go to a lot of these stadiums and see it happen. The walkout in New England, it's, you know, crazy. The fans can't say anything to you. And this walking out of this stadium can't say anything to you, except for the two 12-year-olds that started shit talking Evan on the way out.
That was hilarious. And they kept on feeding me stuff that I'm sitting there like, what? They're like, yeah, you guys lost in the Super Bowl last year. I'm like, but you guys weren't even in the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah, they were trying.
What was the other one that they had said?
They were trying.
I don't know. They were funny.
Now, Adrian says, amazing to see us dominate SoFi Stadium on the field and in the stands. Any doubt anymore who the best fan base is? Debate over. I saw a person on Twitter say the league has got to look into how that the Eagles keep taking these stadiums up. You know,
going to try and stop that just like they just stopped. Only 30% of ticket sales can go to Philadelphia.
You know, the scientific fact of that is that people are selling Eagle fans their tickets because they know their team is going to get dominated. They don't want to spend the money to see their team get their asses kicked. So they sell the tickets. That's how it happens.
And I'll take you one even further, too. I mean, if you've ever been to an Eagles game, you've definitely seen, the vendors that walk around the lots and they've got their Bobo Eagles stuff, the hats, the shirts, all that stuff. It's all Eagles gear at the Philadelphia Eagles games. Well, guess what? I went out to L.A. all the way across the country on the opposite coast. And there was no Rams vendors. It was all Eagles vendors.
All Eagles.
Which is wild.
All was Eagles stuff.
Imagine that.
To him, I was like, damn, like it's crazy that you guys are just selling Eagles stuff. He's like, yeah, LA people don't buy anything. Fake fans. That's what you're talking about.
It's facts, man. Because, I mean, every part of that stadium, I think we walked around and every section had somebody selling Eagles stuff, whether if it was the cap. It was the shirts. It was the see-through wallets or purses, book bags, whatever it was. I mean, shit, they even had some chains they just put together and they threw an Eagles logo on there. And that's just what it was, man. The business was flying for them because, you know what I mean, us Eagles fans are dedicated and we're going to go ahead and show support to our team.
And that's just it. Like, the fans of opposing teams got to hate seeing the Eagles coming to town, but all of the vendors got to be licking their chops, bro. They're like, oh, we've got real fans coming to town. I can actually sustain my business this week.
Yeah, we had one as we're walking, me and Winky were walking, and we were like, one Rams fan by himself, and I was like, yo, come on, man, let me get a go burst. He was like, it looked like he was getting ready to say, we were like, oh, you're going to say it. And he was like, no, I was, but you know what? Go home. Okay. You got that.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, they're going to hate us for being 5-0. I said us because, us, all of us in the fans out there are traveling with the squad to give advantages.
We're undefeated.
The fact that Matthew Stafford had to change up his snap count because of fans.
Allowed Jalen Carter to eat.
Yeah, Jalen Carter's mentioned it in his little interview after the game that he started to learn their snap count because they had to change it. That is ridiculous.
They were doing sign language out there.
Imagine that at the link. It doesn't happen.
It never would happen. No matter how, you know, God forbid how bad this team got, it would never happen.
Yeah, let's get into some let's go with your offensive MVP for the last game. There's a lot of players to choose from in this one.
Yeah. I mean, it's got to be AJ Brown, man. He's just been on a tear like no other. He continues to eat. I do feel for my boy Schmitty. I do feel for Schmitty. He has not been worked into the game plan, and I feel like he's starting to feel frustrated. He might not say it in the post game, but body language tells all. We were watching him on the sideline. There was one drive in particular I can think about where afterwards
the interception
came out. Was it the interception?
Yeah.
And Schmitty came out, and he was just pacing up and down the sideline by himself, and then he went and sat on the bench just completely away from everybody else. And I'm like, that dude's pissed.
And the other thing about that is, like, again, like, if you weren't in the stadium, or I don't believe they show that on the game tape, but he walked to the very end of the sideline, sat there for a minute. It took him a while, and then he came back to the bench, and then he sat down. I was like, okay, what are the thoughts? Okay. Again, like, there's opportunities there with these corners and where their cornerbacks are set up. I thought they could take advantage of either corner wherever you went. You know, it is what it is. I think they'll piece up together. I'm sure they will, but as long as they stay connected.
I don't have any. I think the only thing that we're missing right now is the Schmitty game. I mean, like, AJ's gone off. All it takes, if Schmitty is able to go in the next couple games for $150 and two touchdowns, he's right as rain, man. He's right back on track.
He's had some good games. He's scored some touchdowns, I think. I think
that AJ is just so ball dominant, and it's tough to want to take the ball out of AJ's hands. Like, he is a legitimate top five receiver in this league. He's a top three receiver, in my opinion, because I'm an Eagles fan. But he's legit, bro. I'll take AJ over Puka Nacua any day of the week. I'll tell you that.
So Ev's got an AJ Brown. Prime, what do you have?
I'm going to go with Dallas Goedert, man. Like I told you earlier, man, this is the game that he finally came out. This is the game that we've been hoping for, and here it finally happened. And bro, just to go off of what you were saying, like, it's going to come around eventually for Devontae Smith. You know, I was with you. We saw him pacing up and down, and then you saw how frustrated he got. And he did get frustrated not only with the fact that he wasn't catching balls, but how, you know, some of the blocking was getting done, or, you know, I mean, and here he's putting his all out to go ahead and make a block happen, and people weren't doing their part to go ahead and get the yards that they needed to get for a first down or whatever. But the one thing I did notice, and I had pointed this out to Gail, I noticed that when A.J. Brown had gotten a reception, he was the first one that went up to A.J. Brown and gave him a high five. That was a good sign to me. To me, I took that. That was good to see because, you know what I mean, normally when somebody's frustrated or they got something on the back of their mind, they kind of distance themselves. So I'm not going to say that he was fully distancing himself from the team. You know what I mean? Eventually he came around and he went and gave A.J. Brown dap for making that reception. So that was something I was like, okay, you know what I mean? It's a start. It's something, you know what I mean, to continue on with. And, you know, hopefully these guys will have conversation. If you guys didn't notice, they were kind of having conversations like during the timeouts. It was just the three of them. They huddled up and they had, you know, discussions about certain things. But yeah, that's the good things to still be able to see as this
They're
is
good.
Going on.
Yeah.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Do you think that there's any, like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's my mentality. We're 5-0 right now, and we have a well-balanced offense. I don't want to ever lean away from the run game, but do you think that there is some lingering thoughts in our wide receivers' minds that they wish we were a more pass-heavy team?
I think any wide receiver, like in college, I played with a team where we had 2,000-yard rushers, and it was the worst season for us.
Reggie Bush and Lendell White?
And we were upset every week. but we were out there blocking for running backs while they ran over us. And it's a team thing. Like, at the end of the day, like, you have DeAndre Swift, who's capable of putting up numbers. He's doing so. I just think the way that we can operate, it's pick your poison. So I think that you have to keep it that way. You got to keep it as such. And if you get those opportunities, Quiz, you got to take advantage of it. Oz got some opportunities, took advantage of it.
Oz wide receiver three, bro.
But Quiz, I'll give Quiz benefit of the doubt. He was wide open in the back of the end zone. I'm sure he wanted that one. But then, was it Devontae Smith, you know, being upset a little bit? You know, him, Jalen going to him? Was that part of the I don't know. But at the end of the day, things are going to happen. Things are going to, you know, plays are going to happen. I've seen some – forget who on Twitter was trying to, you know, critique James Bradberry and like what, like these plays are going to happen. Like Slay got beat on a play. They happen. Like, this is football. You are never going to get the perfect football game. Sometimes you do. The 49ers versus the Cowboys. But I think thinking about like mistakes are going to happen. It's just how you rebound and how you play out the rest of the game. My offensive MVP, I'm going to give that to Jalen. I thought he gave an overall good performance. His legs got us out of a lot of trouble. Him scrambling, I can power, numerous, man. Numerous plays. His legs on the brotherly shove, they were four. They converted four of those. Well, these are demoralizing.
The outside, and he got hit, what, like 5 yards prior to the – first down line, and then he just like kind of spun his way out there,
ignited the crowd,
grown man shit.
So we got three different offensive MVPs, and they all deserve.
Before we move on to defensive MVP, I there was something that I don't want to lose in my mind real quick. What has been the most shocking storyline so far? We're 5 games into the season. What surprised you the most about this Eagles team?
Story the most surprising,
yeah.
The most surprising, I saw a couple of people in the comments. My most surprising is the red zone opportunities. Being that the fact that the Eagles, I got stats ready to go. Eagles were the third best in the league in the red zone last year. We are currently 27th in the league. We're still 5-0. Our red
Jason
zone.
Kelce is letting people know about that. So. Yeah.
Our red zone. Eagles were 2-for-6 versus the Rams. 1-for-2 versus the Commanders, and 1-for-5 against the Bucks. Eagles are 4-13 in their last 3 games in the red zone. So,
but when you think about like just how well-rounded of a team we are, and we're able to continue to win even with those stats existing, that is a good thing. But also, you have to. That's like a two-headed monster right there. It's great that we're so good right now that we're able to overcome that. Eventually, your luck's going to run out. If you can't convert in the red zone, you're going to have to figure it out eventually, man. But as for me, Primo, I don't know what your most surprising thing is. Dude, this Rashad Penny thing is the weirdest thing ever to me, dude. When he came on this team, I legitimately thought he had a shot of being RB1 on this squad, bro. He couldn't be more bottom of the depth chart right now. He can't get touches over Boston Scott. That's just surprising to me, man. That's what's blown me away.
I gotta say I'm really impressed on Covey's game. Covey's the one that's really, really shocking to me, man. I know last year every time I was always like when the ball was kicked up in the air and it's coming down to him, I'm not gonna lie, bro. There was times my eyes were closed, like, oh shit, what's gonna happen? How bad is this boy about to get hit? But this year, yo, he lit it. He's lighting it up, man. He's in and out, making moves, making the great cuts, you know what I mean, making plays happen and getting us in great field position. big ups to him, man. He's really doing his thing, and I just hope he continues it all the way through.
I got stats here. Covey picked up his fourth return this year of at least 20 yards. He had only one last year, to increase his average to 16.9.
He's shown definite improvement in that regard.
Oh, again, yeah. Covey haters, I'm looking at you. I'm going to say in the comments, a couple people said their biggest surprise was what do we have here? We have Bob says Sirianni acting like a diva.
Oi, when did you see that? Oi.
Brandon says Jalen Carter dominating so early.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised at that one.
I mean, I think a lot of people were kind of expecting a rookie type of, you know, transfer into the NFL. It's a completely different league, going from playing Saturday to playing on Sunday. When you're playing on Saturday, you're playing against a roster that is probably like 80% not going to make it to the NFL. When you play on Sunday, you're playing 100% NFL roster. And for him to not really miss a beat, that speaks volumes.
Chris Nady chimes in. He says, how is Sirianni a diva? How? A guy has fire and his team's focused on every individual game. Coach goes to every individual game.
Yes, sir. And sees it heads on. How that man acts. I mean, yesterday I seen him on the sideline, man. He was lighting it up, and he ain't had no holdbacks. Like, I saw when he started yelling at Quez. He was getting in Quez's ass. You know what I mean? You got two big-ass key players making blocks for you, and you can't hold it down for you to go ahead and do your part. That's the type of coaching we need, man. So, I don't see the diva. I see a totally opposite from that comment. I that man is doing his job, and he's letting these boys know when they're doing something wrong.
Pete's hater shit.
Yeah, Pete is always talking some hater
shit. He's always on his hater shit. Bring your hater ass to Philly.
I'm going to put him in a headlock.
Hey, man. The thing about Covey is that I always like from Covey. Again, if you go back and watch some of his interviews when he talks about punt returning, it's an art form to him, and he's now seeing the field differently as he gets reps. Again, I think the speed is slowing down for him. So he's making really quality moves out there. Let's see. Biggest surprise. Tim says Nolan Smith would be his surprise. I just think there's a lot of guys in front of him. There's a lot of Hassan, Sweat. There's a lot of guys to go around. I think, again, there's going to be opportunities for him to come through. It's a long season.
Bob brings up calling three tush-push plays out of spite after, you know, everybody complaining. I will say that, like, you know, we tush-pushed the hell out of last year. It feels like we're ramping it up even more this year. And I had even mentioned to you guys after this game, I was just like, there were certain parts where I feel like the Eagles, you know, would try and keep people guessing. Like, that last game, we were just like, nah, fuck it. Anytime we're in a third or fourth and one situation, we're tush pushing.
How about my man, the fan that was up there, and he was letting us know.
Oh yeah, that was hilarious. I wish I had a video of it. We have Ram fans. You know, there's Ram fans behind us, but he was like sitting in front of the steps where mostly everyone's yelling at people to get the hell out of the way. Yeah. But this moment, it was this Eagle fan, and he was like emulating the tush push. Or the brotherly shove, and he was just like mocking the Rams fans that are around us. He's like, whoa. Yeah.
he was like, why? He was like,
oh man. I thought that was the way that we ended that half, that was most demoralizing way to close out a half for them. Because they had just scored, and you're like, all right, man, that sucks. But other than that, yeah, I mean, your defensive MVP.
Yo, man, Hassan Reddick, bro.
Bobby Carter, bro.
I'm sorry. I'm going with Hassan Reddick, man. He lit it up. Those back-to-back sacks. I called the one. Wasn't expecting the second one, but the second one was definitely better than the first one. The way he landed on Stafford, the way he, you know what I mean, he got that secondary. It was just like, yeah. And, you know, the cast is off. The cast has been off for a minute. He's starting to get his group back. He's now back. You know, he's up to three. He's catching up, man. He's going to get back. Yeah, he's getting back to that form, bro.
I think that's a Camden slant to that.
That's cool. That's cool. Definitely some CMD up in there. You know what I mean,
for sure. I think for Jalen Carter, first of all, to take the lead on the for the team on sacks on the year so far, and then on top of the fact to have, you know, the intelligence and wherewithal to pick up on the silent count that you know, and take advantage of that. And I'm sure that that information was passed on to his teammates on the sideline. You know, look out for this, look out for that. So I give it to Jalen Carter, man, a young and emerging star.
Now, going back to, you know, shout out to Maurice. He says, when Hassan's on, he's on.
For sure, man,
He did talk about studying game tape. He says, we watch tape on everyone. We watch tape on. Yeah, I don't. It doesn't matter who you are. We're watching tape on you. So he said if they try to run, pull up a running back to chip, and I get around the running back, he's like it's on. And on that play where he yoked the hell out of it was the same exact play of the running back coming up to chip. He said I'll try a speed move, and get around the running back, and it's on. And it was on. Again, those. Hassan's Reddick sacks have a different feel to them. It's like a, it's like got some Philly stank on it.
And Mark Bird brings up a great point too, where they happen in such critical moments in the game. Like those two sacks coming at late in the game to kind of put the icing on the cake. And you think about obviously the San Fran game. This guy, he shows up in clutch moments. Balls
out. I'm gonna give mine to Carter. I just think his heat up the middle is really shaking up quarterbacks. Again, we talked about some of the quarterbacks that we played over the last couple of games aren't at the level as Matt Stafford. But to see Matt Stafford, again, there's that look when I look for it in these games, through these looks of the quarterbacks when they get hit or cornerbacks when they get deflowered by A.J. Brown. There's a look of them like, I can't do anything. Mm-hmm. You just uprooted me, my soul, ripped out my heart, and they're on the ground looking. That I can't do. I can't stop you.
Talking about you, Emmanuel Forbes, still crying.
Well, even Kendrick was talking shit, and then he was like, "There's I shouldn't have done that." Then he pulled out the one arm jammy, and then it's just that. Those are the moments I live for. But I'll give Desai a hat tip just for being
halftime adjustment, man.
Hey.
That's what we're looking for. That was something that we were waiting on last year, and you know, we finally got.
AJ goes right to her boo, sexy Goddard action. She was all about that. Let's see, man. I mean, I saw some comment about Quez in there about something.
God, I mean, what having pictures on Howie Roseman? That's why he's still on the team.
I think Quez. You saw, if you rewatched the game, you saw where Nick Sirianni was pissed off on the screen.
Yeah.
The guys had it blocked up lovely. We also heard, you could also hear Greg Olsen on the call say the same
all
thing.
Greg Olsen.
And then I was trying to segue into, shout out to Brian. We were, shout out to Vince from Philly Sports Chips out here. We're having dinner. Now we're having lunch. Nice, beautiful. Really nice place, seafood restaurant. Prime didn't eat any.
What was it called? Fishing with Dynamite.
Yeah, Fishing with Dynamite. So I spotted Olsen like two blocks up the road. I don't know how, but you know, this is a football vision. You either have it or you don't. So I seen Olsen coming down, and Prime, who is a diehard Miami fan. I'll let you tell the rest.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, the fact that Gail pointed out Olsen, and then, you know, like I said, I had to just double – I had to stand up and just make sure.
Stand up for your mac and cheese and chicken tenders.
And french fries. Don't forget the french fries. All right, if you're going to detail it right. It was french fries. All right. And then I stood up. You know, I mean, I saw Olsen. And I ran over there like a little kid. I ghosted. I was gone. I was like, yo, I'll be right back. Went across the street to him. And you know what I mean?
Just you have the picture there on your phone, at least?
I do have the picture on the phone.
Okay. You can bring that up.
And then, you know what I mean? I went up to him and I was politely, you know what I mean? Greg Olsen, what's up, man? Big fan of the U. Want to know if I could go ahead and get a quick pick. And, you know, by all means, he hooked it up. There he goes right there.
Let's see here. Solo layout. Look at him. And another thing, he calls a good game, man. He calls it evenly. Hey. I like.
definitely was a moment for me. You know, I mean, a big fan of Greg Olsen. I mean, one of the best tight ends in U history. But yeah, man, it was good to see him, and I'm glad I got the opportunity. And big shout out to you for pointing him out.
Now, Adrian says, "What about Blankenship? Worth a mention. Love the energy he's playing with."
We're always mentioning the Milk Muscle. You know what I mean? he's never forgotten about, bro. Let's just be clear about that. I mean, the guy's leading in tackles pretty much. Well, we're in our fifth game of the season. I think four out of the five, maybe three out of the five games he's led in tackles in those games. My man is doing his thing. He's solid. It's a blessing to have this kid on this squad playing the way he's playing right now. A lot of people slept on him. A lot of people had doubt on him. And I'm going to tell you right now, just seeing it live and in action week by week by week, I feel like he's just getting better and better. And it's the confidence level, not just of him having, but I mean, us as fans, that was one thing that we kind of like slacked on, having the confidence level in this safety position.
Safety position, yeah.
Yeah, and just seeing Blankenship there is like, bro, I'm going to tell you right now, no worries. That's where he's got me at. I have no worries. I'm not saying he's going to go ahead and stop every single play. He's not perfect.
Yeah.
But he's holding it down just as much as we need him to.
Yeah.
Now, DC says, he said, I'm sick of people talking about last year. In what terms? My thing is, I think the thing about if you're comparing last year's team to this year's team, every team is different. And I think every team has an identity. And at this moment, we're figuring it out. We know our
identity. Two games up on the rest of the division. That's what I would call our identity. Right,
you know, like I think the offense is starting to hit. I think they're getting their groove. Stella got a groove back. The Eagles offense is getting their groove back. I know, looking in the comments here. No, it's getting close to Howie trade season time. I know someone mentioned in the comments about it's weird about Rashad Penny. Are the Eagles holding him on for a potential trade? That would be quite interesting if the Eagles did swap Penny for teams that are losing running backs at it.
No, I mean, they keep on going down across the league, man. And, I mean, you got Jonathan Taylor coming back now, but there's still definitely some teams out there that are hurting for a good running back. And you look, he's a guy that is a great player that's just not being used. At least he was great last time I saw him playing. I don't know what's changed.
And when was that?
Back in Seattle. But, yeah, I think that Rashad Penny is definitely a guy to look out for. Obviously, I don't think it would be a player-for-player trade. I think we would just end up recouping some picks there. But, you know, if I'm thinking about trades here and I'm thinking about who the Eagles should go out and acquire, as much as I love Blankenship and as much as I feel okay with our safeties, I wouldn't mind if we brought one in, man. And little Jeremy Chin action, little Buda Baker.
I'll say if you're going low ball, I go Jabril Peppers, the hybrid.
Jabril Peppers? Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, he could help out in the linebacker role.
I mean, Patriots are
tanking.
Yo,
if Caleb Williams goes to the Patriots, I'm going to be bummed out, bro.
it's looking promising, bro. It's looking promising.
Or the Giants, that would suck.
Yeah, that would suck.
I'm not gonna lie. Giants are where they're at, and I'm laughing at my good friends that are Giants fans. Every time I see them, I don't have to say anything. I just go.
Why not? It's like you try to give your Giant fans peoples a heads up about what their squad really is. They just can't face the facts. Yo, you know what I mean? If they really thought that Daniel Jones was going to take them to the promised land, they were lost already there. And then you know what I mean? And their coach. I said it, and I'm going to stick to it. I think he really had a good, lucky year last year, and that's it. You know what I mean? And bro, he's exposed.
Yeah. Yeah, I just look at my friends. I just see them. I go. And they just –
they
that
know.
Eats them.
They know exactly they what you're them. Saying without saying
it. I don't got to say nothing. It's great. It's great. It's a great vibe here. Any other – some other points that you guys want to highlight? I know that there's – again, I've seen – praises of Opeta, man.
Yeah.
I still thinking about – I'm watching some of those reps. I'm like, bro, he stepped in, and he's having himself a couple good games.
He definitely has been. And are you guys at all surprised that – It hasn't been like where's Steen? Where's that whole thing going on?
I don't know. There was only one guy that got the job, that start role over Steen. There was only one person on this podcast that was big on Steen, and you know, where's he at? Yeah, Steen's gonna go ahead and get that position. Yeah, I'm mocking you. No net, bitch.
Yeah, man. At the end of the day, I'm feeling good about the squad right now. Mm-hmm. I think they're heading in the right direction.
They definitely are, bro. It's like you know we keep on mentioning it, especially like the ride home. We were talking about it. Like we got some things we got to go ahead and fix up. Let's you know we're not perfect. This team is not, you know, where it needs to be at exactly right now, but they will get there. And that's just the thing. Taking it week by week, they'll eventually put the pieces to the puzzle together. And look, you know what I mean, at the end of the tunnel, we're gonna be right back to where you know what I mean, where we left off last year, back in that game. And you know this time we're gonna do our thing. So it's still some work to go ahead and put in.
Pete Nathan talks about Dean probably back this week.
Yeah, he's off IR.
You think he kind of got to fight for his job back, or what's the deal there, bro? I mean, we will see. I was thinking that he was going to be one of the stars of this defense prior to your starting.
He's definitely Morrow, one that would, he's
a guy that ended up getting cut in the whole you know training camp process has turned out to be one of our better linebackers.
Bro, he's definitely one that would probably take that type of thing into perspective. Like, shit, you know what I mean? This guy Morrow's doing his thing. Now I got to go ahead and come back in and step up.
You got ball out,
I definitely see Dean having that in the back of his mind. Like, I got to go ahead and shine. I got to get back to where I was at just to prove to them, to myself, to the team, to the organization, you brought me here for a reason. Now I got to go ahead and fix this. Just I hope to God he can just stay healthy for the rest of the year.
Yep.
Shout out to Mal Davis. He said you didn't even send the link to your boy. Man, we're gonna get you on, man. Let me know when you're gonna be on the show, bro. And we're gonna give you those reps, my guy. At the end of the day, man, I'm thinking, you know, what things have to change. I think the Eagles have to get better in the red zone. I mean, they're still doing their thing. And they're still, you know, it's not that pretty, but they're still 5-0.
Mm-hmm. I think a huge part of the Eagles' success this year that isn't really even being talked about is owning the time of possession. I mean, mm-hmm. there's been a lot of games where we have completely dominated the time of possession, and that is due to just long ass drives that we just keep on running the ball down their throat and draining their, you know, their trench, their defensive line, or their entire defense. Keeping them on the field while we just keep on shoving the ball, you know, 5 yards down the field at a time.
Now, Ali says, do you guys think we keep Opeta in when Juergens returns? He was rated the offensive line, best offensive line per PFF and dominated Aaron Donald.
He sure did.
I think, this is competition.
A good problem to have.
I like competition. Whoever they feel is fit for that job, I think you go ahead and put him in there. Opeta's been here for a while now. So,
to be honest with you, and like if I'm looking long term with it, I kind of think I would rather have Opeta continue to develop in that role, because when Kelsey retires next year, Juergens is going to be in the center role. So I'm down to let Opeta keep on getting those guard ropes.
Now, AJ mentions Quez is embarrassing.
Facts.
You know what? Another guy who's not been getting reps in New York. Shout out to Todd. He had mentioned that Mecole Hardman, the Jets could look to trade him. Any love for Mecole Hardman? Field stretcher?
Doesn't move the needle for me. Sorry.
No?
First time I'm hearing of the name, honestly.
No, it doesn't do nothing for me.
He's a Georgia Bulldog guy.
That's cool. I'm a Hurricanes fan.
Just look at how our wide receivers are set up, man. It's set up for two wide receivers to eat well, and then a third guy Mecole to kind of get tricked in. Oz is doing fine, bro. I'm not dying for Mecole.
Well, I'm just saying Mecole. I'm just saying, like, in terms of field stretcher, there's not a lot of field stretchers out there. So if you were to be say, hey, Quez is not the guy, you could bring in Mecole for that Quez.
Yeah, but we talked about this yesterday, bro. What's wrong with the keys?
What Mecole is, man.
What's wrong with the keys?
No, I just told you that he's a field stretcher. That's it.
And I was just telling you how I know you just told us he's a field stretcher. I just don't think that – I think he is not as good as people are making him out to be. That's simple as that.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, field stretchers, they're – they're there to open things up. If Quez can't make the plays that we're asking for,
is Nicole Hardman stretching the field right now with the Jets?
He's not. They're not playing him, so obviously they want to trade him.
I mean, if he can't get onto the field, that says something.
Yeah, I mean, I just think you know, they paid for him, so he's got the same mind as kind of Howie. You know,
how much is Mecole gonna cost? You said they paid him.
He made like I think $4 million a year, but after the midseason, he could be a. I'm just saying this is what Ty brought up to me. Let's see. Wealthy Mind says, shout out to Decipher out coaching McVay, one of the best offensive minds, who had Kyron, Kupp, and Puka at his disposal. I was laughing at McVay today as I rewatched the game because he looked perplexed. So for his offense, we're talking a guy who beat Doug Peterson for coach of the year, for his offense to sputter and not score points, that's Decide did his job.
Yep, 100%.
And also beat Calvin Johnson for player of the year in Georgia.
That's still insane.
Still player of the year. How do you beat Calvin Johnson?
Yeah.
We'll see. DC says, Eagle fans always find something to complain about no matter what. I think there is a faction of Eagle fans who will complain about being 5-0 the way we're 5-0. I made
fun of all the Eagles fans that were sitting there complaining about our punt game going into the year.
I also watched Man punt the football and I was like, you know what? We're not even missing that guy. What's his name?
Sipos?
No, I know his name. AJ says, did you guys go to the Santa Monica Pier?
No.
We didn't go to the pier. We were around it, but we did not. Did you hear what happened today at the pier?
What happened at the pier?
They shut it down. Somebody ended up climbing up the Ferris wheel, started threatening people, saying that they were going to go ahead and do something. And great. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I do say one of the things that we enjoyed the most is finding GTA landmarks in LA. I think that was our most inspiring thing. Like if someone's like, did you see this? Did you see that? I'm like, no, but I did see this GTA location on the map.
I found me some new hiding spots.
Pause there, John. Pause.
John in the comments says, Quez is the weak kink. Okay. Let's see. Justin mentions that there were some misfires by staff, so I'm still in the wait and see about the secondary. People were open. Also tired about people complaining about the tush push not looking so... Not looking aesthetic. I think it's a work of art.
Yeah.
In terms of leverage in rugby.
I love how my favorite is when people say that it's not football. What about it isn't football?
Right.
It's happening on the football field during a football game. It's a running play. How is it not football?
I need someone to compile all the tush pushes of Brady's.
Yeah.
If someone has any free time on their hands.
I mean, there was only like 1,000 of them.
But, I mean, I don't have them. Shout out to Puga, who's coming into Philly next week. I think Puga will be staying at my house.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Just don't bring any bed bugs, Puga.
Okay. Hey, is that by the way? Is that trading card still to your right there, within arm's reach? Because you know which one I'm talking about. And is it still there? You son of a bitch. Mm-hmm. Yeah, down,
bitch.
You talking to me?
Yeah. We're talking to you. Yeah,
trading card
to your right, down,
on the desk.
We caught it.
Yeah, you found it.
Yeah,
he said trading card.
Yeah, it's a trading card.
There's no trading card. These guys finally got to the house. This was from a Zach Ertz.
Oh, I thought that was just my angle.
Yeah. From the Zach Ertz.
Let me see the picture again. Well, why was Jason Witten on there?
I don't know, because it's in there, guy.
Doesn't matter. You still had it out on the table.
These guys thought I had a...
He was worshiping it.
Jason Witten. Jason Witten. It was Zach Ertz thing. See? But Puga mentions the Kelly Green tailgate party. This is going to be one of our bigger tailgates. It's a Kelly Green game, so make sure you bring your Kelly Green. Shout out to Red Bull. Red Bull will be out there representing as well, and Bud Light and Conchi tomato pies. Any ideas for tomato pies? We got to get a vibe.
Love a Run Eagles Run. I'm always a fan of that.
Okay.
Kelly Green is back.
Is it Breast Cancer Awareness Month? Wouldn't mind a ribbon.
It was mainly last game, but yeah.
It's a month, I thought.
I'm just saying. But it's a month for every occasion.
Okay.
We're getting comments about Chalk Doc.
Chalk Doc.
Dustin calls him Talcum Jenkins.
That's pretty good.
That's a pretty good one. Talcum Jenkins. Lathan says, do you guys think Roby will be the starting nickel corner going forward? I think he's, yeah.
Yeah,
he's
with Avante out. I think that he's got a pretty solid chance of that for sure. The young guys are still, you know, working out the kinks.
Mark asks, shout out to Mark. Hope you're feeling better. We missed you out there.
Yeah, bro.
Love to have you out there, man. I was thinking when we took this picture, I was like, damn, man, I wish Mark was in here. Because it was like the perfect opportunity to see all the West Coast fans out there. This is a good photo, man. I was like, yeah, man, we had a good time out there. Shout out to Aaron and West Coast Hoop Nation out there doing his thing.
I was loved right there.
Northwest Bird Gang is in the building as well.
Prime's boy.
Nady's in there. I go back to these photos and I zoom in on people's faces to go on their what exact emotion were they feeling. The Eagles were at that bar. At Tavern on the Main. And he was actually the
correct one.
The owner is on the left in there. So he was excited to be in there. I told him we'd chat him out. But just a lot of Eagle fans in there repping the Phillies.
Mm-hmm.
Weird scene.
It would have been nice if they won last night, but you know. What do you
think? That kind of sucked. This guy. I'm looking in the chat. In the brand here. The title of the picture is called Gale Stinkin'. let's see. Any other comments? You want to bring up? Elena says, forgot Penny was on the team. Again, that is going to be interesting if they do trade him.
Tim Perkins, another safety brought up, Justin Simmons. He plays for Denver, correct? I mean, that's another team that could be looking to sell.
They said a lot of those players are available. I think
PS2?
You know, Pete Nathan would sell his soul for PS2.
I would sell Pete Nathan's soul
for PS2.
I would trade Pete Nathan for PS2.
What?
Send him to Denver.
No, I would put the trade in and just throw his ass in there. Like, here, take this guy too with his crab cakes.
Shout out to Mr. Iflow. Says, every time the media talks about us, it's not about how good we are. It's about the brotherly shove and how it should be banned. Never seen people cross it. The most surprising one was Lewis Riddick. I expected better from you.
Yeah, that was just.
I told you he's still mad he didn't get that GM spot.
I was like,
have you guys also noticed just the general, anytime there's anything good going on in Philadelphia, we got to have a rule change? I'm not sure if you guys also caught the conversation. Prior to the Phillies game yesterday, but there was Braves fans that were sitting there complaining, talking about it's unfair that we have to have a 5-game break after a 162 game season throws us out of our form. Like, dude, shut the hell up. 5 games? You guys played 162 games. You can't take a 5-game break, just completely get rusty.
We got a Jay screaming for Chin. We have a shout out to Kyler. He says, give me Buddha Baker.
Buddha.
AJ wants Garrett Wilson. He's not going to get traded. He was offensive rookie of the year last year. Mm-hmm. let's see. Maurice says, so the Eagles secondary still has issues, fellas. Who is the weak link as of now in week 6? I'd have to say.
Honestly, the secondary, I'm going
to. Weak link?
Find a sunken Bradbury.
Is he? Well, we're not going to say no safeties? Edmonds?
I'm just saying Bradberry hasn't had the best year so far. I'm not saying that he's been a liability. I'm just saying he hasn't had the best year. He's not all pro again this year.
So you give out 2 touchdowns so far, 3 touchdowns this year?
Yeah, he was injured for one game.
One game.
Yeah, still
4 games.
The weak link, I think I just think any of our linebackers in space kind of.
I mean, they said secondary.
Yeah, but now like, I'm going to go safeties in space. I mean, Job is definitely a guy getting picked on. He's a guy that but again, I know Jimmy Kempski wrote about saying bringing in CJ Anderson, that would be a trade option for cornerback depth.
If you know? as you guys look at the rest of the NFC, who's some teams that you think are legitimate threats?
NFC? 40 and 49ers.
49ers?
That's it. 49ers, the way they're built and the way they have stars around their team just like we do. But then when you get to the quarterback position, I think we have the advantage there. Although Purdy played a hell of a game, threw a lot of dimes, threw with anticipation. I like that he's even keeled. He's got the serial killer vibes. You don't know what he's thinking. I like that from him. But again, he's not Joe Montana.
John and Pete are both in my mind. I think that the Eagles and 49ers are in their own tier, but I think that the Lions and Seahawks are both solid teams this year, man. Lions are a good squad, and the Seahawks, I'm looking at, they're rebuilding the Legion of Boom, man. I'm not sure if you're noticing that, but drafting Tariq Woolen last year, getting Spoon this year.
Kobe Bryant.
They have solid corners, really good corners.
But we do have wide receivers that I'd love to see them go up against.
That would be awesome. I would love to watch Seattle secondary versus our offense. That would be great.
Lions lost another. They lost another secondary piece.
Yes, first game back from.
Yeah. Was that Emmanuel Mosley?
Yep. So, and they lost CJ GJ.
CJ Gardner.
I mean, I like what they're doing up. I like the culture they're building in Detroit. And again, if they ever get a J-Mo on the field. I mean, we got to meet coaching staff at the Senior Bowl. They were awesome, man. Dan was awesome. He's a regular dude, man.
Yeah.
Like he was just cool as shit. And I could see why players love him.
Yeah.
Shout out to Corey. He played with Dan at Dallas. He told the story of like going on some crazy wild night of drinking binge, and they ended up like going to Mexico, and they were in some field. It was a crazy story. I don't want to go into too detail, but he said that's the type of dude he is. Sean asks, what's up, fellas? You're right, they should have never gave Danny Dimes the money. Danny Dimes is getting rocked. The last two games he's gotten
embarrassed.
He gonna use all that money for his hospital bills.
Yo, isn't it funny too how the New York Giants have found a way to get 2 quarterbacks in a row that make the same freaking face when they get like flustered and frustrated?
Jones faced.
Yeah, both of them. Just looking drunk as hell out there.
Now, Evan, I know you haven't seen Jerome Brown play in live.
Not live, yeah.
But Prime, would you agree that Jalen Carter is Jerome Brown 2.0?
Absolutely, bro. The way he gets through that offensive line and gets to the quarterback, yes. And then when he puts a hit in on the quarterback, yes. Because Jerome Brown used to play with the same energy, man. And so, yeah, it's like you're seeing Jerome Brown all over again.
Yeah, I'm agree. It's wild to even like mention. Like, you know, like a lot of people will try to like put these players on people early in their career, which is not fair. But I think Jalen Carter is doing with ease. He's taken, and then it goes again. Just go to watch all these teams that we play. Look at their inferior guards that they are going to have to deal with this.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Jeez, Pete Nathan.
Wait till I see you. We might have to put him in a headlock, I think.
Yeah, so. wait till I see you, Pete.
Wealthy Mind says SoFi was absolutely taken over by Green Gang.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even yo, I think we kicked everybody out and we still stayed.
I thought the funniest part was going to the bathroom. And like you go in there and it's just Eagles chants the entire time. And then you finish up an Eagles chant, you just hear, "Shut up."
My favorite thing about taking over stadium is when you hear like fans behind you cackling or like talking shit and they're confident, and they by the each quarter as they get
get drained from them.
And then by the end they're like leaving with their tail between their legs, and they're like, turn around. Good game, push, man.
Push, fucking dumb.
Good game, man. You guys beat us fair and square. I'm like, yeah, I know. Yeah. You don't have to tell us. Like, look at your stadium.
Game was over before we even came up in this bit.
Now, shout out to Mr. Cross. Check out his video game channel and his YouTube channel. He says 2 or 3 drives over 7 minutes and 30 seconds. 1 over 8 minutes last game. That's some good shit. Really you talk about grinding it out at the end of a game, taking someone's soul. That the Eagles did. I mean, but I'm going to be honest. Like, they got to start taking advantage of these opportunities. Just like put them out, man. Put them out when you can.
I will say too that our red zone offense has obviously been suspect. We've pointed at the numbers. It hasn't been up to par. But our ability to get a first down is off the charts. And so that's what, like, those long drives, especially at the end of the game when we are just like chipping our way up the field. And I was saying that as we were up by 2 scores at the end of that game, and you know, the Rams fans were clinging on to hope that they were going to be able to come back, and every single first down, I'm just sitting there, tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. Clock's ticking, and it's great to be able to control the clock like that.
Blue Meanie says, "Call me weird, but I love when the Eagles get the ball in their own 10 because I know that they can drive the clock even more."
Pete Nathan talking about. I saw him mention anybody interested in Jerry Jeudy.
And I'll take him.
No one in the comment. I mean, I think Jerry Jeudy is a good wide receiver, but like if we're talking about, we were talking about, we want a field stretcher, right? I mean, he's not really.
Well, I mean, he
and then he's just another wide receiver, just like the ones we got. He's not going to be getting fed.
He's twitchy, and he's a route runner, and a former teammate of Devontae Smith.
Yeah, I know all those things, but I'm saying that we are
and Jalen, his rapport with Jalen.
We have a wide receiver group that is already talented in itself that the ball doesn't get around to enough people. And now we're going to bring in another guy that's going to want to demand targets, bro.
Hey, but he's a Bama guy, likes to win.
Okay.
Boy, I mean, he's playing with Broncos country. Let's ride.
Hey, man, I'm not saying that. I think he wants Jeudy, out. I think Judy is a massive step up from Quez and Mecole Hardman. Or, I'm sorry, Quez and
Zaccheaus.
Zaccheaus, thank you.
Oh, that's where we're at. So, I mean, if we can get him for a ride, let's go. Eagles country?
I wouldn't be upset with it. I'm just saying that it doesn't make much sense.
That's right.
Let's ride. Let's see. There's a lot of comments. I'm sorry, guys. Appreciate you guys in the chat. Shout out to Hollis Thomas, also traveling on the road to victory. Let's see. Jason says, Cunningham having a solid year as our linebacker. Love the brotherly ship. Cunningham, and he, I mean, I think Cunningham has been an excellent add.
Yeah. Hunter Renfro. That's an interesting thing.
I'll take him.
He might be a little long in the tooth now, honestly. I don't know what he's done the past few years. I know he was good a few years ago.
Good route runner. Darnley says, I'm tired of hearing about Javon Hargrave. One of the announcers said something about him during the game.
All they said was that he was just a great addition to this line. You know what I mean? Nothing new, but no.
He's a great player. I'm not discounting what Hargrave is. I think he's a really good player for the 49ers.
But thanks to Carter, we forgot about him.
Yeah, easy.
AJ says Shante and I will be at the Kelly Green party this Sunday.
Nice.
Next Sunday.
Yes.
Next Sunday. For the Jets game, this will be, people are asking about tailgates. We will not be. I might try and go to the game. I don't know. But definitely not a tailgate. LA body slammed us in terms of juice levels.
Yeah, we gotta prepare ourselves for that Miami game because it's gonna be crazy.
Evan was had a bad back.
Dude, the crib killed me, bro. I'm not gonna lie, my back feels so much better right now. I legitimately
he said the
I caught up on the crib. I wish I had a picture of it ready.
Hold you should have took a picture.
I did take a picture. Hold on, I'll pull it up. But the crib was not built for a man my size. Yeah. Hold
on. This guy brought an adult crib.
That's called
crib.
Being innovative, pal.
While we wait out Pete's. Okay.
That was that I was working with there. That was the chair that goes next to the desk in the room, right? And the little bench that you sit down to put your shoes on, pushed together. They were the same height. And I looked at it and I was like, that might work.
Yeah.
And so it didn't. It did not work. My back was killing me. And then I would wake up around 3-4 o'clock in the morning and stare daggers into Prime and Gale as they sat laid in their beds. I was like, oh, my fucking back hurts so bad.
Yeah, it got to the point where this motherfucker people are staring at me. He just take the goddamn bed.
I mean, it is what it is. We split our time and it was Primo's turn to get some bed action.
Yeah. We split our time. That sure. guy?
Yeah. Man's never seen a floor in his life.
Never.
Never.
Not with us.
Did you get sleep in the bed with me? Stay on your side?
You see, Gail throws these very intriguing offers out at you. And then... Because
he knows
what
he's doing.
I got to take a picture of the next time that we man will. Falls asleep. Yeah, never in my offer's life
always there.
I've never
offer's always there.
I've never seen somebody fall asleep with so much shit on their bed in my life.
Because he knows what he's doing. He's putting
exactly
shit on.
Yeah, he's Mr. Oh yeah, no. Why didn't you just jump in? I had my laptop, fucking all my clothes,
bro. Now that I've got my life back together, this house and everything's a couple sec. I don't do that now.
Yeah.
I don't do that now. Shout out to Ivan. We missed him out there in LA. Man. We missed a lot of people out there. Time was so quick, but I've
said the devil, and you'll be able to hear that story if you come to the 4th and John tailgate exclusively. He met the actual Satan, didn't you, Gail?
But I think once he tells this story, a lot of people are gonna be like, I know that devil too.
That's a long story. That is a long story.
That's the part I'm going to be more intrigued about. How many?
The funniest part was the ride home and like him slowly convincing himself. Dude, I think she was actually possessed.
That was the devil. I think that the minute I mentioned the devil, it was like, bling! I fucking knew it. That was the devil.
That was funny.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But anyways, before we get out of here, I appreciate everyone in the comments, man. Always appreciate your support. It's always awesome to go on the road and actually meet people that listen to the show. We randomly bumped into so many people walking through L.A., that listen and support the brand or have been to tailgates and they let you know that they listen and they didn't think they were going to bump into us out here. And it's just, we appreciate you. And it's why we do this stuff, man. It's a great fan base and people are everywhere. Eagle fans are everywhere. But before we get out of here, I want to mention Philly Sports Trips. Make sure you go, if you want to go on a trip, shout out to them. Book a trip at phillysportstrips.com. You can make sure to follow them at sportstripsphl for more information. They are on all socials, Facebook, Instagram. Shout out to DJ Lowski, who did a tremendous job at the tailgate, always curating a great vibe. Shout out to him as well. Shout out to Bud Light. Shout out to Bud Light, always bringing the suds. They'll have the suds out there for the tailgate on next week. Shout out to Concha Hawk and Italian Bakery for always providing the tomato pies and the cookies. You know the cookies if you had the cookies. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Evan Hollywood Hearn providing the cheesesteaks.
Appreciate you.
With a smile. And and then Prime cutting them up with also a smile.
Need my sous chef, bro. You should see me at those tailgates whenever he's not by my side when those cheesesteaks start coming off the grill. It's a Prime. These people are hungry.
He started yelling for me. Yo, somebody go get Prime.
People start reaching their hands out trying to get a full cheesesteak. And I'm like, I need my security here to cut this in half for you.
Fall back.
Before we get out of here, last word. We'll start with Prime. What is your last word before we get out of here?
Definitely want to say thank you again to everybody on the West Side, man. It was good catching up with people. We definitely were blessed to be able to go ahead and actually surprise a few people. I was one to go ahead and get surprised by seeing my pops up in L.A. Awesome.
Yeah.
That was awesome. It was a great moment. Me and him hugged for about 10 minutes. I couldn't let the man go. It was love right there. I'm just walking up the stairs, and there you go to the right. My pops is sitting there. He ended up taking a trip with a couple of his friends from back in, from Camden. And I knew he was in L.A., just really did not expect to go ahead and catch up with him. I haven't seen my pop in about 4 years, so that was a moment. I'm glad we were both able to experience and for him to see live, in effect, what the Prime is all about. You know what I mean? Because he sees it. He follows the social media. He's always cracking jokes and everything. But when he saw it, you know what I mean? And saw the love and how all the fans out there were showing me love. He definitely was pleased with it and gave me my respect. Again, big shout out to West Swoop Nation, man. Everybody, Chris Aaron from SoCal Family, president.
Yeah,
it was good catching up with him. He was definitely excited to see us. It was his birthday weekend, so that was cool. You got Jewey Macon, you got Birdman, you got King K, Rico West, Rico, New Era Capo. These guys put this
Swoop City,
LA. These guys put, this tailgate for the first time together. They gave us our props. You know what I mean? They were very thankful for us pretty much leading the path to them being able to go ahead and put this thing together. So I'm glad it all turned out for them. And, you know what I mean? It was a good turnout. So, you know what I mean? Big thank you to them. And, you know what I mean? Hey, look, we're going to be playing the Jets this week. We're going to take a little time off, but we're going to definitely get ready for that real big next home tailgate, which will be against the Miami Dolphins. And we're hoping to see a lot of you guys there. A lot of people from the West Side are talking about being there as well. So it's going to be good to catch up with them again. And yo, it's the Kelly Green game, bro. You know how many years we've been waiting for this bitch to come back, and it's here, man. So I'm definitely excited about that one. That's being said, go Birds.
Mine, I feel like, might be viewed as a little bit more negative of a last word, but it just needs to be said. I am very fortunate to be able to go to many different stadiums and see the Eagles play. With that being said, every new stadium I go to, for the most part, I look at our stadium and I'm like, you know what? Kind of need some updates. A little bit bland at the Link, if I'm being honest with you. Listen, I love the Link to death. It's where my favorite team plays. But listen, the new stadiums that are being built, SoFi, the one in Atlanta, like these new age stadiums, they're a different tier, man. Like they are some cool ass stadiums.
It's the bathrooms.
I do fucking care. But I will also say that, like, just the way that, like, that building was built, it was super cool, where it was almost as if it was a bowl, and then they built, like, a separate, not attached, like, enormous tent over top of it, for lack of a better term. And so, like, it was like a whole open concept on the sides, and it looked like a spaceship from the outside, and the Jumbotron was, like, the coolest thing I ever saw. Yeah. So
stadium was beautiful.
Stadium was like awesome, and that's why I'm saying, like, you know, the Link is cool. It's a cool, like, classic stadium, but it's starting to look a little bit dated, bro.
Yeah, but that SoFi Stadium kind of looked like a piss pan from outside, a big ass piss pan. I'm just saying, beautiful inside, but just saying.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that, because I actually mentioned the same. I was talking to Aaron today. And said the same thing. I was like, wow, like looking at these stadiums, I've been to a lot of stadiums. That was unreal.
Yeah.
It was just like, and I'm thinking that imagine, talk about the advantage that we have already. Just imagine the advantage if we had more fans in there.
Yeah.
Like, stepped it up a notch.
If
like,
you were to fit another 15,000 fans in there. Like,
and if you wanted to put a top over it, you know,
we could potentially have a Super Bowl, host a Super Bowl once.
Like, cool. I love the stadium, but I'm just saying that after going to some of these stadiums, I'm like, these stadiums are on another level.
They already do. They already did. I mean, what's the difference?
We'll jabbing you in the ribs there. Okay. My last word again. Like, I'm gonna be honest with you, like, Eagle fans, man. Like, it's so great meeting you guys all across the country, man. It's great to see you guys get to enjoy the Eagles like we do. Mm-hmm. Like the fact that, you know, you're just counting up the opportunities. There's so many Eagle fans that I talked to this weekend. We're like, man, I can't wait to get to the Link. But I'm so fortunate that I was able to go see them in my backyard. One of these days, I'm going to get there. Me and my wife are planning to go cross country, blah, 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 blah. I heard it so many times that I'm like, when you get there, it's a come to Jesus moment when you're at the Link for the first time. But I think, hey, man, when you get there, call us. We'll take care of you at the tailgate, and we'll show you love, man. By the end of the day, appreciate y'all. Also appreciate Amanda. It's our anniversary today. We're about to go
happy
get some
anniversary
dinner.
To you too. Enjoy.
So, yeah, man, I appreciate you guys as well, man. But on the road, it's always fun times. It's kind of times you're not going to forget. Can't forget Lowski farting on everyone. terrible person, man.
You're foul, bro.
How you take a group photo and then fart?
Gail's leaving out the part where he drives by on the
that didn't happen.
Bro.
The 360.
A 360.
That never happened.
Poured out of his pants drive that by.
Never happened. But we appreciate you guys as always. And as always, fly, Eagles, fly.
Go Birds.
Lowski, start farting in group photos, bro.